Forever Dog.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Bashir in Star Trek, I think.
That's who you think you would be? Of all the Star Trek universe?
Maybe Dax. I'm definitely Dax.
Yes.
Jadzia Dax.
I think so.
Yeah, I have several old men inside of me.
Okay. All right.
What is this, Friday night?
Actually.
It is almost.
Seriously, though, it is almost Friday night.
And we pray.
We joke around a lot, but. Friday night.
Remember how I said we should do this whole show serious? So I said I regretted it and then I still brought it back. You can count on me. There's a clip I asked to play. Did it play?
You didn't see it?
Shut up. I called it Ooh, I'm gonna get published.
We take you now to this clip is called Ooh, I'm going to get published.
I would be glad to see him.
So they're like walking down the hallway. He wakes
Data
up.
Data painting, painting two paintings at once is goals. I was like,
goals
damn.
AF.
Goals.
Goals AF.
He's just like.
What a great takeaway. Like, I got to get there where I'm painting two paintings at the same time. Data's little face.
The images I saw during the time I was shut down were generated by a series of previously dormant circuits in my neural net. I believe Dr. Sung incorporated those circuits into my base programming, intending to activate them once I had reached a certain level of development. But the plasma shock activated them prematurely. That is correct. I'm curious, now that those circuits are active, what are you going to do?
How do I make money with them?
I plan to shut down my cognitive functions for a brief period each day. I hope to generate new internal visions. It sounds to me like you're talking about dreaming. An accurate analogy.
Yeah,
it's exactly what I said.
Dadoy, what have we been talking about?
See, he's like, why is he gonna get published?
Of course not. Thank you, Data, and sweet dreams.
Since I'm gonna take all the money from him,
it would be really cool if
the publishing part. I'm sorry.
It would be really cool.
I didn't catch that before. Sweet dreams, and then Data goes, I'm gonna shoot for that.
Data always.
You know what?
So.
Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, man.
It would be cool if when he said, if Dr. Bashir was like, "Oh, so you have this new ability? Can I write about it and be published?" And an extra walked by, and they just were like, "Jesus!" Like, had a reaction to that.
Just like very
an extra
judgy.
Walking like, by, like
we would be the extras. We'd be
like. You fucking believe this guy?
Like, a thirsty bitch.
I would be that extra.
He doesn't even go here. Like, but yeah, Dr. Bashir is smarmy as fuck. You were doing profile, Paul.
I was because I'm watching the.
Oh, you're every time she does it, you do it.
He's annoyed by it. Should I just
put... I love it. It's beautiful.
It is
it's such
beautiful.
A beautiful picture.
It is a beautiful picture.
Yeah, can I see? Wait.
You can't see.
You're
like spying on
it's
it.
It's so hard.
You're trying to spy on yourself.
But immediately
do
it changes.
Do it and I'll do a screenshot. Stop it.
I can't catch myself.
No.
I'm hoping I'm going to be fast enough.
Oh. Obviously. I can't catch myself.
So dumb.
Oh my God, Ronnie.
Oh. I can't catch
And you
myself.
Have no idea. Like, I have like four mirror characters. They're not even like me.
What?
Four mirror characters?
Like in the mirror, do you ever stare at yourself long enough that your face changes and you're like, that's a different person?
I I haven't done that. I can't look in the mirror without getting completely disgusted.
Oh.
I look away almost immediately. I see myself. I go, ugh. And then I turn away.
Do not, Mr. Pretty Princess.
Of course I'm a pretty princess, but that's not what I wanted to be.
I swear to God, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, my physical appearance, I'm like, I'm so beautiful. And then I always, I see myself on camera.
I'm the same person.
And I'm like nightmare. Like, I'm just like, but you're different, Vera, because you're so symmetrical. Like, I look at myself on camera and because I'm not symmetrical, I see my face and I'm just like, oh! How does, because I'm so used to seeing the mirror version.
Because the camera is flipped. The camera is showing you the other side.
I really hope the people other person are seeing the thing I see. But you're if they're not, well, well.
I see the thing that you see.
I hope you do,
seeing.
Because it's nice. We are. It's good.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, well.
It's got its, I get why people like it.
Who was I talking to the other day? My friend was I was introducing my friend Jacob. My good friend Jacob was introducing me to his friend, and we were sitting and talking. And he goes, "Alice has a I was just talking about recording my special or something." And he goes, "Alice has a comedy special, and that's pretty good." And I was like, "Closest friends say this album is pretty good." The reviews are in.
Wait, Alice pretty good, not enough for you? Or
Alice is a comedy special that is watchable.
It's just such a...
Oh, God.
He meant it as a compliment, but it's just like was so like, you could say.
But also, like, comedians and us, we're like specific about words. Like, mm-hmm. I can get so hung up on something like that.
Yeah, because he was kind of saying pretty, like, it's pretty good. You want to check this out. Yeah. But it...
You can make paper a meal out of that, like out of just those two words, like analyzing them.
Make a meal out of it.
But people just say things. I realize, like, with this quarantine, I've realized before, but especially now, I'm like, because so many of the communications are on, like, on virtual, and so people just throw things out there, they just say things.
Mm.
And I'm like, what do you mean by this specific one word placed in this place? And they're like, oh, no, nothing. And I'm like, oh, because I've just been thinking about it for 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
About this one word.
I was just talking shit.
That you chose. Why did you choose this word?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that happen to you?
Yeah. It happens to me with you.
Oh. I got to get out of here.
What do you mean?
No, you texted.
Oh, he left.
You texted differently than some other people. Some other people?
I text.
Your text messages to me, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've found that I have to, like, think in your voice that when I read them more than I have to do with, like, I don't know, other people. That's it's like my dad. Well, the way my dad texts me is the same way. Otherwise, I can't understand what he's saying.
Because they're more like, look at my... Are they more like, Just showing my bottom.
Alice, I'm wearing pants, okay?
It's underwear.
It's not underwear. It's pants. They're just riding up.
It's pants.
It's short pants.
The
Shants.
I've heard. Put your shants on me. Like,
if you change your mind, wear your pants language. Long line.
Let's talk about language differences.
Okay.
Let's get into it.
Okay.
We've been dancing around it for too long.
And you know what? Today.
I didn't come here to dance.
You can dance. For inspiration.
In Spanish, people think I'm particular about the way I speak.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add that to English and then texting.
Mm-hmm.
Olvídalo.
Forget about it. Forget about
it. Exactly.
Forget about it.
It's over. Game over.
Well, who is this?
I like this but guy.
If you talk about particular Spanish, then you add another language and texting, it's over.
It's a Sopranos character.
It is kind of Sopranos-y.
Jimmy Fabliano.
His name is Sopranosy. His name is Brian Sopranosy.
Brian Cipriano-Zy.
It's me, Brian.
Hey,
Sopranosy.
Come on. That's just Brian Cipriano-Zy.
He's gorgeous. That guy.
All right. Well, is Brian coming over?
Brian, it's me, Brian Sopranosy.
Oh, Brian, it's so good to see you. Did you bring the Cipollinis?
I brought Cipollinis. I brought broccolinis. I brought tortellinis.
I wish you hadn't because I have all that stuff already, but put it in the freezer, Brian.
I've committed a sin.
No. Brian, don't worry.
It's over.
No, it's not over. Come on, have a seat.
Brian. Brian.
Now you're going to give me a hard time.
Oh, you're upsetting Grandma, Brian.
Grandma, please don't be mad at Brian. I love your Grandma.
Okay, don't get too close to Grandma.
Grandma, give me a hug and a squeeze.
Okay, she's really small.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
Grandma, let me pick you up and carry you around the room.
Nah.
Okay, where we just discovered
this. You're just a frail little bag of bones.
Okay.
Nah. Over my head.
Nah. We just discovered Grandma's a cat, okay?
Nah.
And you're allergic. That was a fun interlude. It's over now.
A finterlude. A funterlude.
Hey, everybody. This is the B-Man, OBW, from the World Record Podcast. And I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over office hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours Live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show!
It's showtime!
This is the Enterprise's third on-screen visit to Deep Space Nine. The first and second were featuring DS9. Pilot Emissary, so before, but not in TNG. This is the first time Deep Space Nine can be seen in HD as a part of the TNG remastering project.
Do you know what I found? Is that the makeup looked weirder to me. Mm. It looked a little more makeup-y
green.
In HD. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, HD ruined a lot of things for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
A lot of careers.
Including, like, if you're doing calculations, like, for makeup, Do you see the kind of makeup that black and white movies and the costume design that black and white movies
Not everything
do?
Has to be about black and white, okay?
Okay, but this is. Did you see the...
Not everything has to be, but this is. So, zip it.
True statement. So in black
Get
and
going,
white...
No. Yeah.
In black and white films... Do you ever watch that Belle? No, what's her name? The biggest actress of all time,
Alanis
Betty Davis.
Morissette.
Betty Davis.
Close. So Betty Davis, where she plays the Southern Belle, and she's wearing this huge. That's my Trump. My Alec Baldwin's
good.
Trump.
Huge.
This huge. Yeah. The dress is supposed to be red, mm-hmm. but it's black and white. So the way they made the dress shine the right color was a different color so that in black and white, it seemed like it's the color that they're talking about so fucking much. And so the same would happen with the... They talk about it so much. The same happens with the makeup in black and white. It's mm-hmm. just like insane. It was insane, like... Cakey, like they use gray on the face or whatever.
Wow.
So I'm sure, like, I wonder if the makeup designers here, the head of makeup was like, great, this looks awesome with our little grainy ass 80s technology. And then HD came to be like,
May I interject?
Yes.
Because they shot the entire series, at least TNG, on 35 millimeter film. So, no.
Grain.
They would have seen it on camera, and 35 millimeter film is really HD.
Grain.
Okay. Well. Great. I guess. Okay. Honestly, I can't say anything back to that.
I guess to that I would just say great.
You know what? I can't say anything back to that.
35 millimeter film, 2
While you're looking this up, I want to tell a story. I was on the Black Lives Matter Instagram page, and they were talking about, I don't know, it was a post, and a person commented on it. Why do you have to stop making everything about black people?
No, no.
And wait, I was like, and I wrote, you're on the Black Lives Matter Instagram. And the person wrote back and they were like, yeah, I know.
Not even stop making everything about racism, which is usually what they say, but stop making everything about black people.
I was like, are you going on the Ford Motors Instagram and telling them to stop making everything about trucks?
Why are you talking about cars so much?
It's so crazy. It's like,
we get it. You make cars.
What else are they supposed to talk about? This is the Black Lives Matter Instagram page.
Welcome Why did you come? You. I get it. You're McDonald's. I
know. How did you end up in
it's
that
It's the
page?
Happiest place on earth. We get it. Yeah, we're here.
What took you all the way there?
What brought you, sir?
I used to like the Black Lives Matter page, but then it just got so much about black people.
And the craziest part is, it's not. That's the craziest part, is there's so many posts about other people of color. Mm-hmm. There's so many posts about indigenous people. It's not always just about black people. It's so insane.
That's wild.
Yeah, it is very weird.
It's a wild time and a wild place.
I mean, it's a wild time and a wild place in America.
If we want to talk about that real quick, I think it's funny because...
Grain.
I wanted to say this on my podcast, or I am on podcast today, but I'm on Veronica's podcast as well. There's this thing I was talking to my friend Jacob about how like white people feel
again
like
with Jacob.
They have.
I know what's happening with Jacob. Is this what one is this, of the guys Jacob hour? About?
Yeah. Right. Huh. What?
I have a friend who isn't you guys.
Okay, and but you dream about him.
No. We were talking about, it's just an impactful conversation in my life where he said my special was only pretty good. And
what were you going to say?
He said that I was
tell your story.
I was like, white people feel like they don't have any culture to speak of. You know what I mean? Like when somebody was interviewing for 1619, like some white person about like what music white people have come up with on their own. That like they came up with like only the Hammer dulcimer. Like they couldn't figure out one type of white music that hadn't been highly influenced, you know, by black culture, indigenous culture, or whatever. And so there's that perspective where like white people don't really have a culture of our own. But then he was talking about how like white, if you look at people who are, say, like, I'm white and proud, or I'm, like, people that are, like, vocally white and proud to be white, if you think about it, like, they are white culture. And that's really uncomfortable for, like, white people because we are like, no, that's not my culture, but it is. And it's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Like, people with AK-47s who are, like, terrorizing people right now, like, that's my shit. Yeah. That is, unfortunately, extremely my shit, which is why I have to deal with it. Kind of works. It blew my own mind. I don't know. Maybe it's not blowing your mind the way it's blowing my mind.
Well, maybe I'm, like, a Worf, and I gotta teach other white people this is what culture is.
You've lost touch.
Like, we already did this bit. That's how we started.
Well, the problem with
I
with,
thought you were referring to my bit. No.
Sorry, I was just reading that, like, that link I sent you. That's a painting that appears 10 times in all of Star Trek.
And nobody saw it before?
Wait, why am I saying it like
I knowed it.
This marks the 6th of at least 10 instances where a woman holding a balance, that painting, was used as a prop. In this case, Data's describing his artistic visions and must conspicuously skip this painting as it's propped up amongst his own unframed creations.
So,
they use it a bunch. It's a Vermeer? I'm not really sure.
Is it for beer?
She's gorgeous.
Is she not for beer?
She's a woman holding a ballot. She's gorgeous.
National Gallery of Art. Let's see. I think the problem with white culture is that it's been so supported by... it's been built by, like, anything. They're just the Borg.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's acquisition. It's the attempt to cover the earth, to make everything ours, and to just take and pretend that these sources either don't exist or to push them down. It is unfortunately true.
Yeah, that's, and so like suddenly like now you can't use this, you can't use that, you can't use that, and so like now everyone has to just check. Like, anyone who's white has to be like, what am I? And what's left is, like, so shitty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone's just having this crisis.
Why the idea of not being able to say the N-word drives a certain type of white person crazy.
Yeah.
Because there it's just the sheer fact of somebody saying, I don't want you to do this. I'd prefer that you didn't do this. At the politest, and then at the strongest, like, you don't get to say that. It drives them fucking nuts.
Having limitations of any kind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like...
even an understandable one.
If you build a full personality and just being able to say something like that.
But it's that the white mind can't understand limitations.
White mind.
That's true. It's like what I see right now is like an undisciplined child, which is like the... my perspective of America when I first moved here was exactly that. Like, oh, you just didn't get, you know.
It's really undisciplined child.
There's like no unified like table manners, which I find that so kind of like I was growing up rejected. My family is like was so strict about table manners. And then I finally left my home and was like, ugh, I can do whatever the fuck I want, thank God. And then I moved here and I was like, wait, this is the other extreme. It was just like, no one wait, like, I don't know how to explain it. There's something about that I'm like.
Now your wharf.
We have no honor.
You have no honor.
You go to a place and you're like, my culture is table manners.
And people are like using bat lefts for farming and you're just like, what the fuck?
Jake Gyllenhaal is using a fork to scratch his back, and he's like, yeah. Yeah. I'm the Joker, whatever. Or whatever. The fuck he is.
I'm the Joker, whatever.
Whatever he is.
In New York, I used to try to get into restaurants. I'd go and sign my name as Gyllenhaal to try to get a table faster.
That's hilarious.
It's like nobody's named Gyllenhaal, so.
What name can I take
like,
that you think they'll be like, wow, a Hitler. Secret daughter?
Hitler?
No. I'll try it.
Secret
I'll try
daughter.
It once.
Veronica Hitler.
The name's Hitler?
No Are one there is any more? Hitler.
No one is Hitler.
No one is Hitler. He eliminated his own race by eliminating his last name.
Right.
No one wants to take
Jokes
it.
On him. Jokes on you, Hitler.
On you. Jokes on you.
Congratulations, Hitler. You played yourself.
There are more clips, if that's what you were about to ask, Paul.
Yes. That is what I was about
there's
to ask.
There's a clip for you. Yarr. Sorry. So I pulled the scene where Worf almost kisses a Romulan. But before that, I wanted to have a little visit from our friendly jailer, Tovath, or whatever his name is. I already forgot the Romulan guy's name who...
The Romulan here is so funny. He just looks like his entire personality is based on his tiny haircut. And I'm just like...
True. That's true.
Without your haircut, you're just...
That's such a time.
A basic...
He's like, take a little off the tops and all the sides.
And he's just half green, like weird ass, like... No.
I am Tokath. I can return later if I'm disturbing you.
To me, that's like...
It is a strange thing when the jailer concerns himself with his prisoner's comfort.
Mine is a strange prison.
not comforting.
The Klingons, who they were.
Oh yeah, it's weird. You here.
By not slitting their throats when we found them unconscious. I do not expect you to understand. You are a Romulan.
How long does it take him to make his bed?
20 years ago. Proud.
At that pace? Imagine. I would take. Like
just unfolding a sleeping bag, really.
I like it so perfect. That would take me 7 hours.
When I informed the High Command that the Klingons wanted to remain here, I was told that unless I stayed to oversee them myself, they would be killed. My decision ended my military career.
Why did you do it?
I don't expect you to understand.
Ooh, back at you.
Ooh.
But I do expect you to understand this.
He goes like this.
We've put aside the old hatreds. Here, Romulans and Klingons live in peace.
We cut each other's hairs.
I won't allow you to destroy what we have.
Do not deceive yourself. These people are not happy here. I see the sadness in their eyes.
That's not what I see when I look in my wife's eyes.
That's not. Okay. That's what I saw when I looked in her eyes last night.
Did I just blow your mind?
Wait, I married a Klingon, then what?
So you see,
mic drop.
When I warn you not to disrupt our lives here, I'm not speaking just as a jailer.
That's like anyone who's like, don't trust me, my wife is black.
Trust me, my wife is black.
It's all right.
We're okay.
Like, I know they are happy. My wife is black. There's no problem.
I also saw that parallel.
Yeah. How could I be racist? My wife is black.
How could I be their jailer?
Tell
if
me.
I put them in jail in the first place. I kept them in jail. And then I married one of them.
Yeah.
Answer me this, Sherlock.
I think I proved my point.
I think about that frequently. Like, I don't know how I could date a white American at this point in time. Because it's like, I don't know, man.
Because you're married?
With Tigger. No, man, I can date.
I know you're very modern.
Oh, I can go this way, that other way. I can go like that. I can go bloop, bloop, bleep. You know,
blop, blop, blop.
Bleep, blop, bloop, blorp.
Beep it up. People on the streets. Are we still on episode one?
No. No, we're in episode two now.
Are we?
Yeah.
Did we stop talking at any point?
No.
Okay.
We're gonna.
We're gonna
find a place. Forever Dog finds a place. It life finds a way. Jeff Goldblum. Forever Dog finds a place.
Okay.
Anna Rubinova.
Fair enough.
The problem is when you interrupt me, I go into the reading hall. But it's not I don't care emotionally.
The reading hall.
The reading hall.
It's like what the Beast in Beauty and the Beast gave to Belle to make her stay a prisoner,
which
ties in with the show.
Yes.
I was just curious about the crossover and like what sets are from where and how they decide to like overlap them, etc.
It's the clip where Worf almost kisses the lady who's this. We don't understand how old this person is. And also, actually, how old Worf is.
Yeah, that's good. That's both are very good.
She was like 15. Points.
Like, I thought she was a kid.
Ew.
There's
she
a
seems
song,
very childlike.
There's
Wait,
salsa,
is she the one?
An erotic salsa song that I used to hear in the bus on my way to school.
What?
That was like... it was sung by teenagers, but like it was like the magic of your 15 years takes me to the sky. So it's just like a song, like an erotic song dedicated to like
the magic of your 15 years takes me to the sky.
It's so specifically.
Dice la magia de tus 15 años me lleva al cielo. Ahora que te conozco, vivir sin ti. No puedo.
Wow, I like that.
Wait, what's the second part?
But like the magic of your 15 years, it says, now that I know you, without you, I can't live. No. Without you living, I can't. Because it's a weird grammatical arrangement just so that they can
make it work in the
make it work. Yeah.
So the magic of your 15 years takes me to the sky. That's,
to me, Worf is singing that to her.
I have studied them all of my life and find new truths in them.
He's talking about bugs.
This Kalis. Did he ever take a mate?
Is he single?
That is another story.
I fucked him.
Oh, I'll tell you in your mouth with my tongue.
You won't be able to hear it.
Wait a minute. Are you fucking kidding me?
You are Romulan.
Am I?
She's like, I know.
Tokath is my father.
I didn't mean to be.
I thought you knew that.
How could your mother mate with a Romulan?
I know.
It is an obscenity.
Jesus.
And you are abominable.
It's true. It's such a crazy thing to say to somebody.
You just said I was one, and then now it's an obscenity? I mean, that's rude. Rude, mister.
She's like, hey, remember how one second rude. Ago you said that I was one of those things? That's abominable? So, I mean,
it's abominable.
You didn't think I was abominable last night.
Oh.
I love where. What are you? You're in a cabin in Monterey. Are you
I'm
in
on
a?
I'm on a yacht.
Oh, that's
I'm
amazing.
On a yacht. On a yacht.
Have you ever wanted a yacht?
To just have? Sure.
To just have.
Yep. Can't lie.
You're that guy. You're really that yeah. guy.
I would.
You're yacht guy.
I like boats a lot. To just have a yacht? Sure. Mm. I would like that. Yes.
What kind of boats would you prefer?
Row.
Okay.
No, boats are crazy Row, expensive.
Tug.
There's no way.
There's why are they crazy? Tell me.
They're just so expensive. They're so expensive. And the upkeep yeah. is like insane and, you know.
That's what they always say. Like you're only happy when you buy the boat and when you sell it.
2 days. That's right.
2 days.
Two greatest days in a boat owner's life, when he buys the boat, when he sells the boat.
I like it. But it's in his life. Rent the boat.
So it's like you get two good greatest days of your life.
Oh, birth of your child? No. Yeah, exactly.
Like that sounds like a deal no matter what.
Wedding day? Uh-uh.
It doesn't matter how long you have that boat. You have two of the greatest days.
That's right.
It's like doesn't make you want to. What about
where would you sail?
Where would you sell the boat?
Where would I would sail boat from websites. The LA River to the Atlantic Ocean.
No, you can't do that. That's a paper boat.
Oh, that's what I meant. I would love a paper yacht.
Oh God.
Was that not clear? I don't know where I would go. I'd go anywhere I could. I love the ocean. I love being on a boat.
I love being on a boat. And I love the ocean too.
Well, then we are agreed, my friend. Simpatico.
Let's sail away.
My dream is to get rich enough to be able to get Garrett a boat. And
is he a boat guy? He likes boats?
Really likes boats. And he would leave me alone, finally, if I got him a boat.
I'm going to just step out for a second.
I don't know if I love boats.
You said you did. We were simpatico a second ago.
He didn't leave the rear room, actually. He heard you say that.
Oh, wow. Whoops. I'll take it back.
I mute my video and you talk shit about me?
Guys, I'm going to be... I'll be right back. Don't say anything about me, okay? I'll be right back.
No, okay. Thank God Alice is gone. She is driving me crazy today.
I know, me too, because of the...
Say it.
No, I'm not sure what you mean. Because of what?
I can hear you.
No, I'm not here. I'm not here. Just say it.
Can you imagine being the only Romulan in a weirdo Klingon camp? Like, what is this? It's so like.
Can you imagine being the only Romulan in a weirdo Klingon camp?
It's like a cult leader or something. It's so weird.
But there's two Romulans. There's when you go to the other scenes, like this is the next clip I want to play before we end the clip portions of our show. I love this clip. It is the scene where the guy's hunting and he shows up with his pig that he slayed or whatever animal it is.
Oh, yeah.
And there's other Romulans in the mess hall.
Right.
Where they all eat together every day. And the crazy thing about Star Trek societies is that in the future, everyone everywhere always eats together every day.
Yes.
No matter where you are. No one ever eats alone.
Everything's communal. Yeah, everything's communal.
Whereas in the original series, people were always eating alone. It's really weird.
Everyone knows each other. Like whenever they go to any society, there's no like, no society is big. The entire planet is exactly the same all over.
Trees.
And any society they go to, everyone, there's no strangers. Nobody's like, who's that guy?
Everyone's like, Tome, Janet.
And also we forgot to mention, or Bile, which is the name of Worf's love interest in this episode. Everybody's like, Bile. Bile's here. Oh, it's my favorite. Oh my god, the most beautiful girl on our island, on our whole planet's name is Bile.
Bile Garcia Bernal.
This is my son, Sputum.
Can we talk about this idiotic plan that they let Worf, like it's not idiotic for Worf. Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of is, because you think like, oh, he's going to escape. And then he doesn't escape. But that they're like, okay, we think you're going to try to escape. Why don't we send this teenager with you?
Right.
Who has who uses a fucking battle weapon for farming.
It's so weird.
He'll make sure that you don't go anywhere.
Wait, I never understood in the first place why they couldn't just let Worf go.
I guess because, it seemed like. Because
then he was going to like snitch on them.
I guess it made both of them look bad. Both sides look bad.
Like, look at this. Sorry. It says, no, make your point. Sorry.
What?
Edit that out. Just kidding.
No, I guess
that's why they couldn't.
Go on.
Alice did that before.
I did.
The idea that they would both be in trouble if people found out that they were living together as, you know, peacefully, that it was bad for both the Klingons and the Romulans.
Yeah.
That's why they couldn't let him go, I guess, from what I remember. But also,
it's like, because they still think there's a war and they still think everything's like, it's like they went to Ohio and like build their own little thing.
And it was like an incest commune.
Yes,
it looks like a
exactly.
commune.
Like they're doing something so bad that he could not tell people about it or something.
So if you want to see something, because
it's
about...
too juicy to keep to himself.
Yeah, he'd go right to TMZ.
What we have here is too juicy to keep secret.
Look at this. He has that black turtleneck the entire time, and I was like, what is this city rat doing in this like commune, teaching the city ways to these guys? And then so now I'm reading here. Michael Piller, the showrunner and executive producer, saw this episode as a chance for the character of Worf to reaffirm his Klingon nature. And then he says, quote, I had just seen Malcolm X. And I said, Worf is the guy who's saying, you are black and you should be proud to be black. And that's where I started from with the character standpoint. But when you get into it and you realize there's something good in the society and then he'll lose this woman he's in love with, and he can't shake his own prejudice, it's a price he has to pay for his character and his code. I think it's wonderful when people act in heroic ways that turn back on them.
No way,
I don't understand, sir. If this is positive
bad
or negative.
Bad call, pills.
Is this positive or negative? What do
it's
you guys
negative.
Think?
Negative. This is why,
tell
like,
me.
This is why representation in writers' rooms matter. Because nobody would have allowed this white guy to read Malcolm X and then come to the writer's room and go...
Black person?
No, but I'm saying...
One black person in that writer's room would have...
That's why I'm saying representation matters.
Managed to not allow... Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Why I'm saying representation matters, because that's why you can't just have the tokenism, because there has to be enough people in a room.
That's why she's saying representation matters.
Okay, I'll shut up then.
Because there's no... Like, if there was a correct balance... In that room. I mean, I don't think that
you could get away with that at a certain point. With people, like, I read Malcolm X and I've got some ideas.
If the two people of color.
No, not even read Malcolm X. He saw that movie.
Yeah, he definitely
didn't read Malcolm X.
I had seen Malcolm X. Let's see what he means. No, it just links to disambiguation.
Right, and that's why we have to have. It's like so white people digesting media about civil rights by other white people is like creating this like feedback loop of like misunderstanding what justice looks like, so that they just make a shitty episode about Worf being like everybody should be hitting pigs on the nose and then hunting them harder.
You should be killing more.
And everybody's think like, about yay, murder. I love it.
Yeah.
Why aren't you slaughtering animals?
Once you start hitting each other, you'll love it.
Sleep on a board.
So this fortress is actually amazing. It's kind of like, doesn't it look like your ideal home, that fortress? I was like, this is goals too. There's that compound in the top of a mountain.
I love it. It's very brutalist.
Yeah.
He'll come back after all. A warrior keeps his word, isn't that so?
Father?
Yeah.
If I wanted to visit Romulus or the Klingon homeworld, would I be allowed to go?
You're my prisoner.
Come on!
Oh, no. What the?
Listen. You can hear people saying, like, wow.
Tonight, we eat well.
Mic drop.
Get that off my table.
Oh, but pick the mic back up again.
You do not kill an animal unless you intend to eat it. Get rid of it. I intend to, Toka.
Wait till... Listen to what the extras say.
Not until it's cooked. Today.
Women didn't find that funny.
But that is not all I
men laughing.
That warrior's blood runs through my veins. I do not know how or why, but we have forgotten ourselves.
What do you mean you don't know how or why?
Our stories are not told. Our songs are not sung. Tonight, as we came home, we sang a song of victory. A song known only to me as a lullaby. But it is
a song you sing when you kill a space pig.
Bada,
Tumor.
Fire
streaks the heavens.
It's so funny that they thought that was a lullaby.
Do roll. Battle
has begun.
Okay.
Bagda
Tumo,
Choja
Duro,
Yaja
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 Yaja.
Okay. It gets so funny that they thought that was a, like, he's like, in retrospect, it's weird that we thought that was a lullaby. If you think about it, it literally says battle has begun. So.
Like, I knew the words and I never questioned it. It's like ring around the rosy, I guess.
It's no different than our lullabies, guys. Come on.
It's true. Pocket full of posy, baby.
Ronnie, when you're right, you're right. That's right.
It's no different. Like in Venezuela, we have one.
Oh, boy.
That's like... duérmete mi niño que tengo que hacer lavar los pañales. No, arepa. Arepa.
Is this part of it?
No, wait. No. Arepa.
The song includes
it happen like this 1 second. Let it be like this. Arepa.
Arepita.
Ah, oh, it says, okay. It says, imagine me trying to deal with a baby. Like, it says, it says, arepita de manteca pa mamá que da la teta. So that means arepa with butter for mom that gives you tit. And then it says arepita de cebada, which means like, what do they make beer with?
Hops.
Barley.
Like a barley arepa for that gives nothing. So it says arepita de manteca pa mamá que da la teta. arepita de cebada, so like beer, pa, que no da nada. He doesn't give shit.
Yeah, but that's not.
So we give him beer, and that's a lullaby. No, no, it's not. It's crazy. You guys have to stop and think. Is this crazy?
Why? Why is it so give me dire? Like a, give me a minute,
Alice. Let me stop and think. Okay, but that is crazy.
I know. I said a bunch of words.
This is crazy.
In rapid succession.
Let me stop and think. That. Hold on. Let me stop and think that it's crazy.
You just sing to a baby like, let's just give your mom a little butter arepa because she gives you.
Let me have that thought you told me to have.
Wait. Oh, is it forming?
Is it forming? Is the thought forming?
Is it forming yet?
Let me know when it's formed.
Is it like, what is it like? Because it's a misunderstanding of the sexual organ. I don't understand.
Let's give that a beer, because he gives you nothing.
But a beer is good.
But they're saying like your dad gives you nothing. I actually want to say one more thing, okay. And it's that over the December holiday break, all the live plants and trees in the jungle and garden sets were accidentally left on the dark sound stages and had to be replaced when they came back. So they killed all the plants by leaving them all winter.
That is an insane thing.
I know.
What the fuck? I know.
Sucks.
That's ridiculous.
That's like when in ninth grade.
Stupid.
We had a fishbowl all of the ninth grade. We had to do an we just like had to like take care of, that was our biology project. And then at the end of the year, everyone left and they left all the fish. Nope. And I remember the fish and I went upstairs and I was like, what do I do? And I just took as many fish as I fucking possibly could. And my mom was like, when I got back from school, she was like, what in the actual fuck is going on here?
How many fish?
How many fish did you bring? A bowl that was this big, and it was packed.
With,
I just took as many fish as I could because they were gonna die.
Like they couldn't even move. They're just like
all everyone
crammed,
yeah,
like crammed in an like elevator.
A New York City street, New York City subway car,
or like Tokyo where they have the stick to push people in.
Yeah, sorry.
So, in conclusion, I would like to end this show.
You know, this was a very exciting
opportunity.
Couple of episodes. Mm. Yeah. Opportunity. The episodes provided a lot of insight into the decision making of a writer's room six seasons in and not much more. Because, and then they, you know, I'm glad we went through this together.
If you can, if you guys listening at home, if you can, try to have a thought that this is crazy. If you have time. Just if you have time. I love you guys so much. You're my favorite people to do a podcast with. And you're my favorite people. And I know we're not Veronica's favorite people, but you guys are mine.
You are mine.
No, you have a best friend.
This was nice.
And this was nice.
Thank you, Paul, for doing it.
Thank you, Paul, for
doing
it.
Thank you for having me. I love hanging out with you guys. It's so much fun. It's always so much fun. And you know what? It was fun to talk about these episodes more than I thought it was going to be.
Always is with you.
I like getting into the whole, as much as I find the Klingon angle always very frustrating, it's still interesting for me to talk about with you guys, you know?
It's
always interesting.
For me, how do I say this? No, it's because there's so much to criticize. It's like they get things wrong. When they get things wrong consistently, it's fun. It's still fun to be a fan. And that's why I like this show. And that's why I like you.
Still fun to be a fan.
Still fun to be a fan.
Thank you.
So thanks you guys for being here.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for thanking us.
Of course.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
Yes, thank you, Anna.
For being the rudder in our boat.
Thank you to the listeners.
I love you guys.
Love you.
I love you very much.
I love you too.
Thanks,
I love
you too.
See you around, guys.
Bye, guys. I miss you already.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.